The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey-o! Thursday, September the 22nd. George Brockman and the George Show, 710 KNUS. We are live. We are local. We are looking at weather that says a little colder than normal. Yesterday, holy gray out there, huh? I didn't mind the rain so much. It's weird. Both my older boys, Trey and Jeffy, were like, hey, this is great weather. And then Graham and I, not so much. In fact, we went out in front of the house last night and threw the football around in the drizzle. We felt like manly men doing that. As it turns out, dad's football skills deteriorate in water. I don't know if that was predictable or not. I didn't predict it, but after that, it was pretty shameful performance. Nonetheless, we had a great deal of fun out there. Tomorrow, however, we climb right back into the 80s, and we kind of stay there over the next week, which is nice as we transition into fall. Hey, today we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We're going to have a pretty awesome guest here right after this first segment. I don't want to delay him, and I don't want to keep us from really, this is the dessert before the meal right here. This is the kind of thing, Billy, honestly, should come at the end of the show to keep, you know, well, as a reward for people.
Most people would be happy if it just didn't appear at all.
Instead, yeah. I wouldn't say most. I get texts. Yesterday, I forgot to tell you this one. There was a text that came in that said, I set my alarm clock to make sure that I get to this portion of the show.
I didn't know my mom had your number. But I appreciate
she's
that.
She's got the studio number.
I appreciate that.
Which, by the way, for folks who are out there listening, you can always reach out to us at the show here at 710KNUS.com or the 710KNUS app. You can also call us at 303-696-1971. That's my fave. Because, of course, it's a talk show. We normally do the talking with you, but this first segment is really about educating you and to a very, very small extent, brainwashing you into the understanding the human condition from the deep, dark recesses of Billy's brain. We begin with the Thorpe Report, and then we just sit right into You Choose the News without further ado's William Thorpe.
Just sit and we're getting international here.
I think that's Dutch Irish, something like that.
Oh, good morning,
sir. I prefer
sir.
English.
Well, as George was talking about, we've got some subtropical moisture that's continuing to stream into our state, so we got another cool day ahead of us. Scattered showers are going to be on and off throughout the morning. It'll probably break by the afternoon. Those showers and storms, again, it's going to be warmer and drier as air returns to our state next couple of days, but they're going to be on and off. So, you know, you might get a little bit of rain here, a little bit of rain there. Friday is going to be much fairer, much warmer, and the weather pattern will continue throughout the weekend and into next week. We'll probably be in the mid-80s by, you know, Friday, Saturday. Three people were taken to the hospital after a regional transportation district light rail train derailed in Aurora yesterday afternoon. It was the R-Line train. It derailed the Exposition Avenue and Sable Boulevard intersection right around 3:45 p.m. The Aurora Police Department said paramedics checked out 24 people riding on the train. Three people were taken to the hospital and expected to be okay. This is the second derailment at that intersection in the past 4 years. A woman was ejected when another R-Line train derailed there during a snowstorm in 2019. Several other people were taken to the hospital with minor injuries after the derailment. Those trains don't go fast. I'm just, how does it derail?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a great question. I saw the picture and I thought this is like a movie.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that too. And you always had that thing when you were a kid. You're like, oh no, don't put pennies on the tracks because it'll make the train derail. And that was a bunch of crap.
I've stood by the train close enough that, man, if that thing derailed, I'm just a red streak across the concrete.
Exactly. Elsewhere, the city of Aurora yesterday named three finalists for their new police chief 5 months after firing former Aurora police chief Vanessa Wilson. But one of the finalists immediately said, So Scott Booth, police chief in Danville, Virginia, withdrew from consideration after finding out, maybe I don't want the job.
It's almost like applying for a job when you're on unemployment. You don't really want the job. You just have to get credit for applying.
Yes,
and he's like, oh, wait, no, give me that one.
Yeah, I just needed to fill this out for my unemployment check. That's all I needed. So that's what he was doing. The two finalists are Scott Ebner. He's a deputy superintendent of administration for New Jersey State Police, and David Franklin, who is the chief of staff of the Albuquerque Police Department. Elsewhere, a three-judge panel in Denver is going to decide whether to vacate the felony murder conviction of Patrick Frazee. After hearing testimony in court yesterday, he was convicted in Teller County District Court in 2019 and sentenced to life without parole for the killing of Kelsey Barrett, a one-time fiancé and mother of his daughter. In their appeal brief, the attorneys argued that three jurors discussed the case during his trial and formed opinions prior to actual deliberations. They also argue that when the court became aware, not enough was done to address this potential issue. Mm-hmm. And finally, at least three criminal investigations are underway regarding business practices of a Colorado contractor accused by customers of taking money but not finishing the job. It is Steel Building Manufacturing, LLC. If you've done any work, had them come over to your house and not finish things, authorities would like to chat with you because evidently he shows up, takes
sounds
the money.
Very positive.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I know. So, and speaking of things that are quite nice
what?
And positive.
Here we go.
And sometimes also talked about as being a scam. It is time for everybody's favorite radio news game show, You Choose the News. Yes, where we have scoured the internet for amazing stories about us humans and then given them really stupid headlines to play this fake radio news game. Why? Because, well, it's silly and waste some time on the show. Alrighty, sir. We are proudly sponsored today by Dr. Jordy LaForge's Dream It Into Existence app. We will talk about how that is not only topical and timely, but it can solve all your problems. That is just a few moments away. But first, we must play the game. Alrighty, sir. Here are your choices today. Headline number one, getting what's mine. Headline number two, getting what's mine part two. Headline number three, shall we call him Cardinal Shady? And headline number four, self-help equals help yourself. Alrighty, your headlines again, sir, are Getting What's Mine Part 2, Shall We Call Him Cardinal Shady, and Self-Help Equals Help Yourself.
Because I was that kid in school, I'm going to mess up the apple cart and go with Part 2.
Part 2. Oh, you got to do Part 1.
Okay, Part 1.
Trust
I knew
me,
it. I knew it.
Yeah, you have to. Otherwise, Part 2 doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
We're
going
to travel to Beirut, and this is something that happened just last week in Beirut. There was a brief hostage situation at Lebanon's BLOM Bank. It was difficult because a woman shows up to the bank armed and has a couple of accomplices with her. She holds the bank hostage for a couple of hours and then leaves carrying more than $13,000. But was it a crime?
Interesting.
Actually, no.
What?
Wasn't a crime because the woman was just trying to get the money out of her own account. She went into the bank and had to hold the bank hostage to get her own money. In Lebanon right now, banks have locked most depositors out of their savings since a financial crisis took hold 3 years ago. Much of the population is unable to pay for their basic needs because they just locked down the money. Yeah, so she shows up with a bunch of friends and says, we have this gun, you give me the money. And yeah, she got $13,000. And again, it is her own, so you can't really go ahead and charge her for it. The woman identified as Sally Hafitz by her mother told a local Lebanese television station she took money from her own account to treat her younger sister's cancer. So that's why she did it. She goes, we would not be able to treat my, the younger sister's cancer if she did not go to the bank and pull the hostage situation. Yeah.
That's interesting. First off, I don't think you can get away with just threatening other people and all the weapons and stuff like that. But
yeah.
At least in terms of the stealing your own stuff, that's interesting.
I know, it is. I mean, they had her stuff, but she wasn't supposed to have her stuff. It's just weird. Okay, second choice. We're going to go with Getting What's Mine Part 2. Shall we call him Cardinal Shady or self-help equals help yourself?
Listen, honestly, as a point of clarification, if I let Part 2 go till tomorrow, have I ruined the whole synergy of this? Because otherwise I'm going right to Part 2.
I could make it good tomorrow. It would make sense.
I'm going Part 2.
Okay,
I'm just
going Part
2. Let's get it done.
We are going to go, strangely enough, back to
what?
Beirut.
That never happens.
Yes, I know. Back just same, and strangely enough, back to this very same BLOM bank right there. Because after hearing what the other lady did, Mohammed Kormaz showed up with another fake gun and managed to get $19,000 out of his own account after holding the same bank hostage.
What?
Yes. Yes. Days after our first story, another dude shows up. And again, both of them just showed up, not with real firearms or toy guns, but the other dude shows up with another toy gun at the same bank, and he's able to get $19,000 out of his account. I think we have discovered a plan and a plot. This may become an actual theme.
I'm starting to wonder if we should have red flag laws for toy guns
exactly.
in Beirut.
Exactly. I think it's funny that dude's like, Oh, it worked for her. I'm going to try it. And it worked for him. I'm like, huh.
I picture a line of people outside the bank with their toy guns. What kind of you got there?
Yes.
That looks like an AR-15.
It's like an airplane where everybody's taking turns and beating up the person. Yes, exactly.
From freaking out.
That's what it is, yes.
Yeah, my turn. Hey, I'm here for a withdrawal. You know the routine.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful.
All righty. Oh, your final choice this morning, sure. Sir, shall we call him Cardinal Shady or self-help equals help yourself?
Well, it sounds risky because it could be about a lonely person doing lonely person things, but let's go with self-help.
Ah, self-help equals help yourself. At least that's what Wegmans has found out. Uh-oh. The cult favorite Northeastern grocery chain back in 2019 rolled out a brand new mobile app. It allowed customers to scan, bag, and pay for their groceries while they shop and then bypass the checkout line altogether. The Wegmans Scan app promised customers a quicker checkout experience and let them see a running total of their purchases as they shopped. It was all about making it easier for your lifestyle. But this week, the grocer announced, we're canceling the app. We can't do this anymore because you guys keep stealing our stuff. Yes. The grocer announced it ends the app because of rampant shoplifting connected to the app. He said, unfortunately, losses we are experiencing prevent us from continuing to make this available in its current state. Wegmans did not provide any details on losses experienced with the app. The chain debuted their Scan and Go app as Amazon was beginning to wrap up their cashierless Amazon Go stores, which have also suffered from shoplifting. Many other traditional retailers have also rushed to keep pace with the Amazon technology. Scan and Go has come with unintended consequences for stores, though, because it leads to higher levels of shoplifting and fraud and other losses that normally wouldn't occur with traditional checkout lanes that are staffed by cashiers. In fact, they say that one retailer shared their data and said comparing stores with Scan and Go apps to those that did not have Scan and Go apps, those with the technology had a loss rate that was 18% higher than those that did not. So, yes. Those apps, when you're going to walk around the store and scan and walk out, surprisingly, some of us don't scan our stuff and just put
it
in the bag anyway.
Amazing.
Who would have known? Who would have? I mean, it's a very shocking thing.
Retailers won't give an app, but they do. They do give an app about stolen goods. I'm starting to think we have to rapidly move towards shoplifters lose a hand. And I'm just saying you only need to see a couple of those things.
I mean, let's start with fingers.
You see, a finger. Yeah. But, I mean, you see somebody drug out in front of the Safeway, and they come away with gloves not fitting correctly, all of a sudden people are like, maybe we don't steal from Safeway.
See, for me, and if it was going to me, it's almost like a three-strike rule, because what I would do is the first time I take the pinky, the next time I take the ring finger, the final time, I'm taking your thumb.
Oh, the thumb's
because
a big
that's
one.
Why. Yeah, that's why. That's the why the
gripper,
third one is
the gripper.
Exactly. That's a whole bunch of things you're not going to be able to do anymore.
Honestly,
so,
if you even get past the pinky, if you lose your pinky and you come back to shoplift,
and you keep coming back,
then it feels like a mental health issue.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? And then after, what do you do after the thumb? I mean, have you just done your Putin and you've played your last card in Ukraine?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
You then go to the hand, you go up to the elbow.
That's the thing, the elbows. Yeah, that's weird.
I feel like, listen, I know the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution is a real thing, and I don't want to engage in cruel and unusual.
No, we would never do that.
Is it cruel? Mm. Is it cruel to take a pinky for someone who's a chronic shoplifter?
That's kind of a baby finger anyway. It doesn't do much. It just gets in the way.
You get the cigar cutter out. And speaking of cigar cutters, it's a penalty you can build into things like sex assault on a child.
Exactly.
You know, then your penalty is it's preventative as well as punishment.
Exactly.
You know, it's punitive and preventative.
Speaking of things that are punitive and preventative, that is the end of today's game show. Yep, that's it for You Choose the News. As always, George is our perennial winner, and I'm a giant loser. But today we are sponsored by Dr. Jody LaForge. Dream It Into Existence app. Yes, it is an app that will help you with calming, relaxation, mental exercises. You can unleash the power of your mind, just like former President Donald Trump. If you think it, it happened. Yes, your wife is angry because you didn't take out the trash or mow the lawn. Just think you did. That's all you need. The police pull you over. You're going 25 miles an hour over the speed limit. Show them the app and say, you don't think you were speeding. Yes, avoid deadlines, responsibilities just by thinking about them. Patent pending, Dr. Jody LaForge Dream It Into Existence app available soon at all better app stores. Back to you, sir.
Oh, buddy, that is that's magical stuff.
I'm thinking I need to go home.
No, not yet, not yet. Meanwhile, I was up here as you were finishing up watching this Fox News. It was the highlight that we've seen a million times, the clip of that woman with her scooter in the alleyway and that freak show hit and run artist, the kid who crushes her with the car and then is like, peace out. You know, I don't owe anything to my fellow men, especially after I injured them. Anyway, it's a sign of the times. Another sign of the times, by the way, if you haven't been paying attention, and we talked to Gabe and Amy and Brian from Alpine about this earlier, is that the Fed got together in their special little, I don't know, cabal, and they fired up their little pot of boiling water, and they threw some eyeballs and worms and stuff like that in there and came up with the answer, we need to jack up interest rates again by 0.75. That's 75 basis points. That right there is fascinating to me in light of the fact that the president, what was it, a year ago, said this was just transitory inflation, and now we're treating it like it's runaway cancer, and at some point we're going to have to start lopping off limbs to save the economy. I have now started to hear folks talk about the possibility that the Fed may engage in deliberately trying to get us into a recession to crush inflation. That's crazy. And so when you start thinking about what do I do with my money, what do I do with my home in a market that is this volatile and potentially increased inflation and increased interest rates, all of those things combining, it doesn't mean you just batten down the hatches and wait for the storm to blow over. You try to get out in front of the storm and you make the most of it. And the best person to call for that is Gabe Ribble with the Power Home team of Keller Williams Realty DTC. Fall is a perfect time to get out of your house for top dollar and into that dream house as the market continues to stretch and bend and mold and figure out what it's going to be when it grows up. You get out ahead of it. And man, are you going to be thankful that 6 months from now you made this decision right here. Gay is an expert at finding the homes that you're looking for and also finding you the buyers. She's got 15,000 plus of them to sell your home for top dollar. She'll do it all guaranteed in writing. That's right. She'll promise to sell your home at your agreed to price and time frame, or she'll buy the home. Call Empower Home Team at 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. And you can also check her out at GayHasTheBuyers.com. That's Gay, G-A-Y-E is how we spell Gay here. GayHasTheBuyers.com. Now, listen, we're going to cut away for a break in just a moment. I want to tell you about some stuff going on with President Trump. He's never in the news, but it turns out he's in the news yesterday. A couple different things going on, and we're going to have conversations about them. But when we come back, we're going to be joined by the sheriff from Jefferson County. He is a superstar in the law enforcement community. He is a constitutional guy. He's also a friend. He's the outgoing sheriff because we have term limits for our law folks out here in Colorado. And he is helping once again with a huge event. You know, Pete Boyles is huge on this. So is Frank DeAngelis, the Colorado's principal, America's principal from Columbine. All big proponents of a big event coming up this Sunday. That's the MC1 ride. And we're going to have Sheriff Jeff Schrader on the phone here after the break to talk about just that. Then we are going to get into some discussion of something that took place in New York. The Attorney General has filed some type of legal action against President Trump, his three children, and two other folks out of his business empire. I want to talk to you about that. I've been reading through this 222-page stab-yourself-in-the-face-dry legal document, and we'll get to that after we get through Sheriff Schrader. We'll talk about that and some of the other stuff that's going on out there in the news. Remember, we're talk radio. We're not just talk at you radio. Talk as in we have a conversation. Maybe we should change it to conversation radio, Billy. We shouldn't talk isn't strong enough. So as these things come up and you want to chime in on them, ask questions, make your point, there is no other station out there that does what we do. You pick up the phone and call us 303-696-1971, or you hit us, as some people have already this morning, with the text at the 710knus.com website or the 710knus app. Until we come back, you're listening to me. My name's George. It turns out it's the George Show right here on the very mighty, super powerful, clean-smelling 710KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS on this mighty chilly, at least for the temperatures we've had so far Thursday. It is 9-22-22. I don't know what you call that in numerology, but in poker, that'd be a pretty strong hand, man. That'd be four of a kind right there. Speaking of a strong hand, let's go to a very VIP person. It's a superstar from law enforcement and a friend of the show, friend of me, guy named Jeff Schrader. He is the sheriff for my home county of Jefferson County. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well, George. How are you today?
I'm good, man. First off, you are running up on the end of your term in office. Can you just give folks, one, a sense of how long you've been in law enforcement? And then I want to ask you, what are you going to be when you grow up?
Well, I started with the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. It's the only law enforcement agency I've ever worked for. Not that I haven't been around a whole lot of others, but I started in 1984 as a deputy in the county jail. I'm in my 39th year, and I'll be really close to completing 39 years at the end of my term, which is January 9th.
That's amazing.
been a great run with a great organization, and very honored to have been the sheriff of Jefferson County, and was honored to be a deputy back when I started in 1984. What am I going to do when I grow up?
Yeah.
That still remains to be seen. I'm not looking for a job, but I'll say this: as long as I'm living, my life work isn't over.
I think that's true, Jeff. The thing I worry about, and we're a few years apart. I'm not close to retirement yet, though, for financial reasons, as you can imagine. I'm going to end up working till I'm in the grave. But the idea of being able to retire excites me. But then I look at folks, and you know some of these folks too. Something happens when they have been performers at a certain level like you have for so long, and then they downshift. One, I think they become a little bit lost, you know, like after that first week or two off, and maybe you're different. They're like, what am I doing? And then you just, I don't know, that something happens when you don't have that purpose, and maybe you have that purpose. It just doesn't require a paycheck.
You know, a lot of the reading for executives that are retiring, and this is a report from the Police Executive Research Forum, mentions that it doesn't really matter what you do. It might be go work again. It might be volunteer. It might be taking care of grandkids. It might be building a cabin. And a couple of those things that I just mentioned are some of the things that are in my future. But the point is to have purpose and know what that purpose is. So there are things I'm looking forward to doing as I shift down a little bit, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be involved in matters and issues that are important.
One of the purposes that I know is also a passion for you is something that's taken place this weekend on Sunday. It happens every year. I think you and I wish it had never needed to come into existence, but that it has done a lot of good. Tell us about it.
Yes. And to that point, George, yes, we wish that it had never happened. We wish that we didn't have to go to a law enforcement officer's funeral service last week. But Dave Baldwin was killed in the line of duty on his motorcycle in 2014 on Highway 93 between Denver and Boulder, which now happens to be the Sergeant Dave Baldwin Memorial Highway. Dave Baldwin's call sign when he worked for the sheriff was MC1. And so this year we are once again doing the MC1 Honor Run. It is a fundraiser. The MC1 Foundation and the guys that work on this constantly and run the foundation do this for the survivors. Often there are benefits for officers who are lost in the line of duty, but those who are injured, there are not always the same resources. And but for the grace of God, Wheat Ridge Police Officer Alan Fisher, who was brutally attacked and stabbed 12 times.
Oh, my God.
Earlier this year, I don't remember the exact date. It was earlier in this year. He is the beneficiary. But Alan Fisher is with us. He's going to be with us on Sunday at the MC1 Honor Run, as are other prior recipients of awards from the MC1 Foundation, and many, many members of the Wheat Ridge Police Department, including his daughter.
Oh, wow.
So this is a who is a Wheat Ridge police officer.
That's amazing.
That's a cool sidelight to the story. But the MC1, the ninth annual MC1 Honor Run, is this Sunday, September 25th. We start at Columbine High School. Registration starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. We have a ceremony at about 9:30, and the first bikes out go at 10 a.m. And I'm encouraging people to go to the MC1 Foundation website to sign up for it. If you don't ride a bike, join us at the end. We're going to be at the Summit in Thornton, which is 580 East 144th Avenue. And there's going to be a great event there, very family-friendly event, a lot of activities, bowling and arcade. You can watch the bikes roll in, and we can show support for those who have been serving us and have been injured in the line of duty. You know, over the course of the years, there have been a number of officers who've been injured in the line of duty. One that comes to mind immediately is Sheriff Joe Pelley's son, who was injured in Douglas County.
Remember when
Zach Parrish was killed. And there are numerous others. But many of those survivors who had awards in the past are going to be with us, too.
We're talking with Jefferson County Sheriff Jeff Schrader. A couple questions, Jeff, before we get to the nuts and bolts of how to go find out more information about this. And I think it is perfectly timed, by the way. There are folks out there who are like, listen, I always love to finish my day with the Broncos. What better way to start your day than with doing something where you come away from it feeling like you have done real good for real heroes? But let me ask you, in your time in uniform, and I'm talking about from the time you were in the jail out there in Golden until now, how many officers has the sheriff's office lost in the line of duty? And then maybe it's easier for you to answer for your time as sheriff. How many officers have you lost as sheriff?
In the line of duty, I have not lost any when I was sheriff. However,
blessing.
Because of the timing of ceremonies and Dave Baldwin's name being placed on the law enforcement memorial in Colorado, I did at that memorial service present the American flag to his widow, Crystal Baldwin. And then also the day before I took office, we buried Sean Renfro.
Oh my gosh.
I presented a flag to his widowed bride as well, Crystal Renfro. And something I, as I saw my friend Link Strait do that at a funeral service
chief
last week. Yeah. One of the toughest things to do. But we want to do it with honor to make sure that we honor those folks. We have seven names on our memorial wall at the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. Six of those individuals were killed in the line of duty while I was, I had worked with six of those. One predated back in the early 40s.
Jeff Schrader, another question, and really it's more of a comment based on what you've said. You are right that the headlines and the attention and the focus, and for very good reasons, tend to be on those who are deceased. That's real. That means something. But you're also right that we tend to more easily forget or get past the ones who end up living on with their injuries, whether it's regular people from the community. In the Aurora Theater case, there were 70 attempt murder victims. You only ever talk about the 12. Or if it's Zach Parrish, as you pointed out. I mean, Zach was brutally murdered in cold blood by a guy who's no longer with us, thanks to the good guys. But there were four other sheriff's deputies who were shot and injured in that hail of gunfire. We talk far less about them. You mentioned Joe Pelley. There's three others. I mean, some of the most horrific body cam footage I've ever seen was on one of the deputies who ended up just trying to save her own life, jumping out a window of the building where all of this gunfire was. You know, it was the semi-automatic, two rifles, and she had to jump out of a building and land on the ground in order to try to save her life. We don't really talk about those folks so much, and so the fact that MC1 exists to try to figure out a way to bridge the gap between where they are now and where they were before the crimes that were inflicted against them, that's tough stuff. That's really good stuff.
You know, it is, we intentionally named this ride the MC1 Honor Run. I was involved in the discussion. It was actually in my kitchen at home with the Defender Motorcycle Club, which I'm a member of. And we said, how do we honor Dave? Well, we put together the MC1 Honor Run and gave it that name. One, to honor Dave. Two, to honor the other survivors, but also to honor those who run towards danger each and every day. And the importance of what first responders, police officers, deputy sheriffs, firefighters do, to keep our communities safe, running toward danger to protect individuals.
Jeff, that's something else I'm not sure that I even appreciate as close as I am to law enforcement. What I can't appreciate is sort of that unspoken thing that takes place when you put on the bulletproof vest, you put on the gun and the badge, and you head out there and you say goodbye to your wife and your kids or your husband and your kids. And that sort of unspoken, yeah, I'll see you later, but that question mark that you must have in the back of your head, you've been doing this for 30 plus years. How do you ever get past that? Or is it a matter of faith? Is it a matter of luck? What is it?
It's a matter of all of that. We don't know what we're going to encounter each and every day, any of us as citizens of this world. Peace officers do not know what they're going to encounter each and every day. And sometimes it's unfortunately the deadly mix of things coming together. You know, even an off-duty deputy in Weld County on her way to work didn't know she was going to encounter another vehicle. She was just traveling along the road appropriately, again, on her way to work to protect people. I'm drawing a blank on Alexis's last name, but the Weld County Sheriff's Office will be conducting her funeral service along with her family this Saturday. None of us know what we're going to encounter, but you want to have the pillars in your life correct, the support from your family, and you know it's not just the stress on the officer. It's the stress on a family. I've often said at academy graduations, when we hire and bring on new deputy sheriffs, we don't just hire the person who's wearing the uniform. We hire the wholeness of them, including their family and their friends who are going to worry about them. So we don't pay those people. We only pay the one who's wearing the uniform. But we recognize that the role and those thoughts that invariably go on in people's mind about what risk am I going to face today do have to creep into the minds of moms and dads and spouses and children.
Jeff, when you look at Sunday as a fundraiser here, is there an amount that you have to pay to participate? Is it all voluntary, the amount? I know at one point there had been discussion of whether you could auction off a get-out-of-jail-free for car theft card, but it turns out it's irrelevant because no judges are keeping people in jail for car theft, so they had to scrap that. What does it take to help out here financially?
So the registration for any bike that is in the MC1 Honor Run is $35. You can do that online at the MC1 Foundation, and you can simply go to that MC1Foundation.com, and it will take you to the page that will give you access to the registration. $35 for the rider, and then if there is a passenger, it's an additional $10. Donations above that are greatly welcomed, and also will be accepting donations both at Columbine High School in excess of that, as well as at the summit, if there are people who want to show up at either the front or the end. There'll be food trucks at Columbine High School where people can purchase food on the front end for the ceremony that initiates. And there will also be food and activities at the end, and also an opportunity to participate in charitable donations there as well.
Give us the website again, Sheriff, and tell us the time it kicks off.
It's MC1Foundation.com.
Number one or spelled out?
Not spelled out. MC and the number one foundation.com.
And we start off.
Again,
go ahead. As I'm sorry.
Sunday, September 25th at Columbine High School. Registration's at 8:00. And we're going to have the ceremony at 9:30. And the first bike is out of the parking lot at 10:00.
Sheriff, if I did not have business out of state coming back that day, I would see you there, but I will see you very soon. Thanks for making time this morning to give us a call.
Always good to talk to you, George. I look forward to seeing you in person sometime soon.
Thanks, sir. Hey, that was Jefferson County Sheriff Jeff Schrader, a big part of the MC1 ride. You know that Pete's going to be there. Frank DeAngelis, America's Principal, is going to be there. And hopefully you will, too. Go check it out at mc1foundation.com. It starts at 8 a.m. with registration at Columbine High School. The weather should be pretty darn good. We're talking about climbing up into the 80s that day. Speaking of pretty darn good, too, you want to go check out some of our friends that can do some other great work. No, it's not about law enforcement, but it's about everybody in the state of Colorado, and that's when we talk about water. Our friends at Colorado Farm Bureau, they have become the advocates for our water, not just for the ag community that they represent. You hear Colorado Farm Bureau and you think, hey, is this just about farmers? No, not even close. It's farmers, it's ranchers, and it's you and me, the people that consume that stuff and count on them to make the most out of the precious water we get that runs out of our state. And we can't stop it. There is something called a water compact law. It is a big law with big teeth in it where the feds could come in and say, we're going to shut down your well, or we're going to force you to give more acre feet of water to California or to Arizona. They can make a call, if you will, on water. The people that stand between us and those really thirsty people who don't manage their water the way we do downhill, it's called the Colorado Farm Bureau. This is how you help. Go out to their website. No joke. Go out to their website. Learn about the things that they do to make the most out of the water for the ag community, which is like the number two or number three industry in Colorado, and then join their ranks. The strength in numbers thing is real. When they show up at the state legislature or at the Congress or with any other federal agency that wants to meddle with our water, having that kind of muscle behind them, and that's you and me, that matters. So you go check them out at ColoradoFarmBureau.com, ColoradoFarmBureau.com. When we come back, we're going to kick off some of our topics of the day here, including an attorney general. No, not the one here in Colorado, but one that sure does think a lot like him. She's out in New York. She's got her target and her eyes and her sights set on a guy named DJT. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. I was about to jump into a little legal action here filed by the attorney general of the state of New York, same political persuasion and ideology of the attorney general of the state of Colorado. She has taken a disliking to somebody named Donald Trump, the former president, and she has filed something in court to go after him. It's creative. It's interesting, the venue that she's chosen and the format of this thing, and I want to get into that. But honestly, as soon as I started thinking about lawyer stuff, two things came to mind. One, an anecdote I want to share with you. I was in court yesterday, for those of you that listen to the show in the 9 and 10 o'clock hours. I was in court on something. I want to tell you about it. But I also want to start off by letting you know about a friend of the show and a guy who I used to work for named Dan Kaplis. I was thinking about this here. It's probably good, not that he would ever do this, but it's probably good that Dan Kaplis is not the attorney general. Not because he wouldn't do a bang-up job, he would, but he would scare the bejesus out of any politician he set his sights on. Because unlike Letitia James out of New York, this is a dude who's been doing it at the highest levels with the best outcomes for decades. In fact, now that I say it out loud, maybe after Kellner serves his two terms, maybe Dan will be ready to hang it up and he'll want to just go and become the attorney general and start crushing people, because that's exactly what he would do. For three plus decades, Dan has been in the business of providing the limited justice that victims can get out of our civil system. The civil system can't give you back a pain-free life. It can't give you back the things that were taken from you because of the negligence or recklessness of another. It's really just set up to be able to give you stuff to try to mitigate as best it can the consequences of someone else's wrongdoing. And if you want to maximize that, that's Dan Kaplis. Dan Kaplis isn't going to rush in and make a quick kill because he needs to have a check into the firm. I didn't like that. This dude will ride your case as long as it takes to get the insurance company to do the right thing. If they want to do it out of the gate, by the way, it's most likely that would happen with Dan versus almost anybody else, just because he's been ringing their bell so often. I mean, five consecutive multi-million dollar verdicts. I mean, give me a break. How about he and Bob are going and crushing the trucking industry with the biggest, and it was a negligent truck driver, don't get me wrong, biggest verdict, I think, award in the history of the state of Colorado. Look, there are a lot of good reasons to go around and search and try to find the best advocate for you. But in that search, you need to pick up the phone and call Dan Kaplitz, because that's the place you're going to end up. You call him at 303-907-5003, 303-907-5003, or you can look him up at Dan Kaplitz Law. Kaplitz is C-A-P-L-I-S, dankaplitzlaw.com. Now, yesterday I was in court in Denver on something. There's a guy named Kyle Mullica. He is a Democrat legislator that lived up in North Glen for years. And when I say years, I mean 12 years with his wife. She became a member of the North Glen City Council. He was the House member up there. And then something crazy happened, and that is on his way to deciding whether or not to run for re-election, new districts were drawn, and it was a district that drew him out of a Senate district he wanted to run for. And so he looked around and thought, man, we own this other place, but it's also still in my House district. Wait, Mom. Mom lives just over the border in Senate District 24, newly drawn. So here's the timing of how this thing worked out. Mid-October, the maps get released showing that Mom's house is in Senate District 24. The Constitution says for Representative Mullica to run for the state Senate, he must be a resident of that Senate district for no less than 1 year. That 1 year date is November the 8th of 2021. And I know this is all coincidental, at least that's pretty much what the court found yesterday. But on November the 4th, he claimed that he moved in permanently, because it has to be a permanent move. He abandoned his wife and children in their home in his House District 34, moved into Senate District 24 to take care of his mom. He didn't know for how long, but he thought it was probably going to be forever. Never thought he'd ever go back to the house. That was his testimony. And then the day he moved in, of all the craziness, like the trauma of saying goodbye to your kids and daddy's not going to be home anymore, and having to figure out the logistics of moving all your clothes but no other personal belongings from your home to your new home with mom in this ranch-style home in Federal Heights, the one thing he made sure he remembered to do on that 4th of November was change his voter registration. And then the next day, as he's figuring out how to help mom, who needs his help so much he had to live there, he made sure to file his candidate committee paperwork with the Secretary of State, and then 3 days later to file his candidacy for Senate District 24. If that doesn't sound fishy and funny to you, it did to us too. That's why we represented some folks from that jurisdiction that felt like maybe he wasn't a legit representative for them. Had an all-day hearing in front of a judge in Denver. That judge came out and said, close call. I can tell you more about this as we get into the show. Some of the stuff was laugh out loud funny. We'll get to some of that stuff. But ultimately, this is a guy who is now going to be able to represent Senate District 24 when he's elected. Oh, by the way, one more thing. Since April, he has been drawing a paycheck from the legislature for being the representative for House District 34, casting votes on behalf of House District 34, but he hasn't lived there, not since April 22nd. That's right, folks. It's a House District member, and apparently this isn't crazy to him, because when I asked him about it on the stand, he said, well, my understanding is, you know, I got elected to represent them when I live there. I don't have to live there anymore. What? If those be the rules and the law, we need to change the rules and the law. We'll talk more about that, as well as Attorney General Letitia James from New York going after DJT when we come back from a quick break. Until that time, you are listening to Big Daddy right here in the saddle for you on Thursday, the 22nd. George Brockler on The George Show. It's 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.